So your RV refrigerator just died. What do? Do you have a funeral? Do you putt? Well, you might not do either. That's what we're going to talk about today and staying on the road. But before we get into staying on the road, we're going to look at enjoying the RV life. And we're going to talk about RV life, campgrounds, and directory. Actually, campground reviews and directory. And then we're going to visit Sheridan, Texas, and look at the top reasons why you'd want to go there. And then in RV Envy, we're going to visit Yolink hubs and sensors for RVs. So this is Eric Stark with the Smart RVer podcast, delivering the smarts you need to enjoy the freedom of the RV lifestyle without the fear of breaking down. Let's talk everything RV. Today is episode 152. So let's jump into this. Welcome to the show today, Alexis.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here with you.
Wow. Alexis just bought a new RV.
I did. Not new.
A used RV.
New to me.
So she took my advice.
I certainly did. It's awesome.
So they bought an older RV.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
It really is.
Built right.
Mm-hmm.
And how many slide outs does it have?
None.
Not one slide out.
So
there's one less motor you got to worry about.
Exactly.
All right. So cool. So it's a nice, clean, older trailer. Good shape.
It is. Yep.
Yep. Back when they built them right.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So we have a friend named John, and he would probably agree with your purchase, right?
Yes, I think he would. He'd be very happy. Yeah.
Definitely prior to 2000. All right, so that's cool. So Alexis upgraded her RV. Her and her husband now have a newer trailer, mm-hmm. ready to enjoy the RV lifestyle a little bit more.
Yes.
Here in Montana. Mm-hmm. All right, so there's one thing I wanted to bring out. This came out during the week, I don't know when, a couple weeks ago. But when you have an RV, whether it's a trailer, motorhome, sometimes you get things that are made just for that RV. They're only going to fit that RV. For example, if you have a Class A motorhome or a Class C or B and you have a windshield cover on it that maybe you got from Sunpro Manufacturing, you know, if you're not going to buy the exact same RV, there is no point in keeping that windshield cover because it probably will not fit the next RV. And we hear about this all the time. We bought this RV. Yeah. It has snaps on the front of it for a windshield cover.
Right. Can you make
but the people didn't leave it. You know, they sold, they kept that.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah. And we hear that all the time. So I know there's some things on an RV when you sell it you want to keep. I understand that. But things that were made for your RV that are probably going to fit that RV or your awning. Maybe you have a 12-foot awning. You know you're going to get a longer trailer, so that awning is going to be bigger. So don't keep mm-hmm. the shade. Just let it go with the RV.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of getting a new RV, buying new stuff, man,
exactly.
Re-outfitting it, spending more money. You know?
Just do it. Just get a new one for your new RV.
But just keep that in mind. When you sell something that's made just for your RV, just let it go with the RV.
Exactly.
You know, it's the cool thing to do.
Yes.
All right. So now, as we talk everything RV, let's just get into this and let's hit the RV Life Campgrounds reviews and directories. What did you like about their website or the services they offer?
Well, for one, I like to be picky about where I travel to and I want it to be a good place. So what I find really cool about this is that you can see reviews from other actual customers that stayed there. So if somebody has similar thoughts like you did, this is what I expected, this is what I got, then you can kind of make a decision about where you're going to go based on that before you even hit the road, which is very, very cool. You can see maybe some amenities that you want, maybe choose a campground over another one based on location or, you know, just various things depending on what you and your family want from that campground or RV park.
Right.
That's kind of nice.
They're real reviews, which makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not just robots or whatever out there doing it.
Right.
Alexis brought out a good point about those reviews because don't we always shop by reviews?
Exactly.
We
do.
We go to that big old giant website that sells all the garbage in the world.
Oh, yeah, that one.
You know, you look at the reviews.
You do.
And, you know, you can tell there are tons of fake reviews on there.
Yep.
You know, and so you really got to sort through them. You really only want to read two or three, but now you're finding yourself reading 50 of them because most of them sound like they're just made by the manufacturer, a robot's doing it, or a bot, whatever you want to call it these days.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're fake. But these campground ones are real. A lot of outdoorsy type things, like trail directories, things like that, yeah, they have real people reviews, and they do make all the difference in the world.
They do.
You know, and you got to read several of them. You know, one might be very negative, one might be very positive, so you have to find that average.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So besides the reviews, what other awesome things are found at the RV Life website?
Well, another cool feature is the forums. So this is where you can talk to actual people who have been there, or get guidance and support from the actual hosts sometimes of the campgrounds. So they're going to be a wealth of information. Hopefully, if they're on that site, they will be helpful. So you can actually ask a real person instead of just reading. And then, too, there's tips and advice. There's blog posts that cover topics like maintenance, packing lists, budgeting advice, and destination recommendations, kind of like what we do with our next stop. But ours is better, obviously.
Yeah, ignore Zarif's for maintenance. You just come here. This is the source for a little maintenance. Right. Yeah, yeah.
But there's probably, you know, a few things.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But, yeah. So... it's a good resource to go to. It caught our attention, so obviously we're talking about it. We don't talk about anything that we wouldn't look at or use or do ourselves.
Exactly.
So definitely it's on our radar. So go to their website. And their website, you know, it's rvlife.com, but it's to get to this spot, you go to campgrounds.reviews.rvlife.com.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a link on the website that's friendlier than that, you know.
Yeah.
That's just what we had written down here, so that's just what I'm going with. But I'm sure if you go to RVLife.com, they're going to have a link like campgrounds or reviews or something that's, you know. So just go there.
Well, and I'll
take a peek and see what you can find.
Yep.
It's free. Why not, you know? Okay, now let's jump into staying on the road, and we're going to talk about RV refrigerators. So your RV refrigerator just died. What do? Stopped working. Do you have a funeral? Just replace it. Just kind of putt, look the other way for a while, hope the problem will go away. Or do you do neither? Let's find out. So you're out camping, you're enjoying your RV, and that day has finally come. Your refrigerator just died. I paused there because I was going to say something else, but it's my sense of humor. No one else will appreciate it. So anyways, your refrigerator has just died. So it stopped working. You know, everything's getting warm as you sit there. Oh, no, what do we do? So now what? Well, first we have to examine the situation. You know, we have to take a moment and determine if a funeral is really necessary or maybe just minor surgery. You know, we hope for minor surgery, but sometimes you got to go to a funeral, right? If your refrigerator is beyond minor repair, such as the cooling unit has failed, and we're going to get into that a little bit more in more detail in just a moment, but the cooling unit failing would be a good reason to buy a new refrigerator, at least from where I sit. There are some very important things we need to consider when we're looking at a refrigerator that's having problems, especially if it gets into a cooling unit. But like I said, we'll jump into that in just a moment. So we hear this all the time that, you know, someone will say, my refrigerator just quit working, or they'll say it died. You know, when they say it died, you automatically think, well, it's time to get a new refrigerator, right?
Exactly.
You know?
No reviving it.
Exactly. It's done and over with. But that's not really what they mean. They just mean it quit working.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't automatically call a funeral home and get things set up for the funeral. We don't do that right away. First, we determine if the refrigerator malfunctioned and if it can be repaired, which is most often what happens. Very rarely is a refrigerator beyond repair. It does happen, but most time it can be fixed. So I bring this up because, you know, quite often the first reaction is to replace the refrigerator. It seemed like it stopped working, but so we got to just replace it. And quite often that's how the conversation starts. You know, how much is a new refrigerator? And then you ask a couple questions. Oh, we were just out camping and it quit cooling. Okay, so we might not need a new refrigerator here. You know, and refrigerators are so expensive anymore that it's good to try to repair it and make it work if you can. That's the route we always take. So I recommend to our customers to be sure that it is dead and ready for a funeral before replacing it. You know, we want to make sure. So that's where we start asking questions. And the customers, you know, they're not always right in this case.
Exactly, unfortunately.
You know, the customer is not always right. What a horrible thing to say, right? And it's not always time for a new refrigerator. But we start asking questions. We start working our way through it and sorting out the events that led up to it. You know, what happened? How did it die? What was going on? You know, was it taking too many drugs? No, just kidding. No drugs involved in the refrigerator.
No.
But what happened? You know, why did it quit working? People will go to YouTube and they'll, like, you know, type in refrigerator stopped working. And man, it's such a broad term. You're going to get so much stuff back that it's just going to be confusing. And quite often they grab onto something that's not really the same as their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they might think their refrigerator needs to be replaced. You know, so you can't go to YouTube because you're not going to find the exact same problem. In fact, occasionally I go to YouTube looking for stuff, but it never helps.
No.
It's like, wow, I walk away. What are these morons doing? All these videos, they, you know, it's not the problem.
Right.
And so many of the videos are just bad. It's bad advice.
It is.
You know, especially the titles. They make a title sound like it's your problem, but it's not even close. So, you know, if you want to go to YouTube, that's fine. But sometimes people go there, you know, trying to get this resolved, which that's great. You know, you're trying to do it on your own. Or they talk to somebody who has a refrigerator in an RV. Their friend says, well, I had the exact same problem. This is what I did. It probably wasn't the exact same
problem. Yeah, how do they know?
Now find out, well, similar. Well, not even close. Right. So it has to be the exact same problem, same refrigerator, you know.
Right.
There's variables there. So talking to a friend sometimes may help, may not help, depending on what their experience was. You know, and even technicians sometimes are going to come back with, you just need to get a new refrigerator. You know, they're like doctors anymore in this PCR testing. You always got COVID, right? So you take it to a dealership, you always need a new refrigerator. It's dead, beyond repair, you know?
They don't want to deal.
We couldn't resuscitate. Can't talk today. Well, I'm not a doctor, that's why. So anyways, not all dealerships do that, but it seems to be more and more that repairs are not what's being done. They're selling new parts, kind of like the automotive industry. You know, years ago, mechanics rebuilt brake calipers, wheel cylinders, alternators. Not anymore. Everything just gets replaced. You always get new, well, not new parts, rebuilt parts or whatever parts, and some sort of a semblance of new. So it's a different world today. So everybody wants to put in new stuff. You have to be cautious here because what we find is about 85% of the time that the problem's minor, such as it needs a thermistor, maybe a gas valve, a circuit breaker popped and it doesn't work on 110, or a fuse on the circuit board blew, or, you know, the circuit board has gone bad. You know, circuit boards are a little more expensive, but it's still a minor repair compared to a new refrigerator.
Exactly.
Alexis is shaking her head, because she hears me talking to people all the time and quoting these prices, you know, a circuit board, $300.
New fridge.
You know, versus newer fridge, over 2,000, you know, which way are you going to go?
Exactly.
And so these repairs can add up, and sometimes a refrigerator might have a problem where it's harder to diagnose and maybe end up with a couple parts, but that's okay. You're still money ahead. Or the refrigerator might have an intermittent problem that makes it more difficult to diagnose. You know, I know that sometimes people will just put in a new refrigerator out of frustration. They're tired of dealing with it. Maybe they've taken it to some technicians and they've spent $300 here, $200 there, $500 here. The money starts piling up and it's like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. So they just put in a new refrigerator. And sometimes I get it, you know, you're just frustrated, put in new and that should solve the problem. Yeah, hopefully it was in the refrigerator, not something else. We hear it all the time about furnaces, the same type of stuff, and water heaters, you know. So I need a new water heater. I need a new furnace. You know, a furnace is going to be at least $1,000.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go ahead and repair it, you know. Mm-hmm. All these things can be repaired up until a certain point.
Sure.
They all get to a point where they're beyond repair. But until it gets to that point, think about repairing it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, most of the time, everything can be repaired. Now, there are times when a refrigerator might go beyond repair. For example, it continually has problems. You know, since you bought the RV, whether it's new or used, you're just always every year it's like a new circuit board, a new heating element, a new this, a new that. You know, the burner's not working, doesn't work on electricity, doesn't work on gas. And it's, you know, a couple hundred here, a few hundred there, and you're tired of putting money into it. It's like the money pit. And maybe that refrigerator is just bad. You know, it happens. It happens with cars, right?
Yep.
Some cars just are piles of junk compared to their exact same model, same year. You know, in fact, I knew a guy in Arizona had a Ford van identical to mine.
Yeah.
Spent thousands and thousands of dollars on his front suspension. Never. I have spent nothing.
That's so funny.
You know, and I had more miles on mine than his. You know, he's just complaining. Finally got rid of it. Like, oh, I haven't had a problem, you know.
Happens.
It's like, whatever.
Yep.
So those things happen. So maybe that's the time where, you know, it's a money pit. You just get rid of it. Understandable. Or it's older, you know, it's an older RV, you're keeping it around, you don't want to let it go, it's your favorite, everything works in it, you know, except for the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And maybe the refrigerator could be repaired, but you decide, you know what, this RV is 25 years old, it's the original refrigerator, we're going to keep this RV, let's just put a new refrigerator in it, then go ahead and do it, you know, it's time to just bury that old dog. It gets to that point, you know, sometimes they just get old, they're not worth putting money into them where you don't want to. Parts might be coming harder to get. You know, the last time you got a circuit board, they had a hard time finding one. So maybe it's just time to go. Let it go. Parts aren't available, door gaskets, things like that. So it's just pouring money into a dead horse, if you will. So you don't want to do that. So my point is, it's not always cut and dry when a refrigerator fails. And it sounds odd that people automatically go to the refrigerator needing to be replaced, but that's where it goes to for whatever reason. You know, maybe it's just society in general anymore. It's a throwaway society, you know. Your home refrigerator breaks, you just get a new one.
It absolutely is that way.
You know? So it just makes more sense, I guess. But we need to be careful there. So now let's get into the cooling unit, because that's the big expensive part of a refrigerator, or one of the most expensive parts. Doors can get expensive, you know, things like that, but the refrigerator is a big one. And it's easier to replace a door financially than replace a cooling unit, because the refrigerator is working. Yeah, I definitely want to put a new door on here. The hinge broke, and they do on some models. They become a real nightmare. But the cooling unit's the heart of the refrigerator. I mean, that's what keeps it going, you know, when they do fail. Yeah, they can develop a leak. And you smell that gut-wrenching, poisonous stench that comes oozing out, called ammonia, that greenish-yellow film that can get on everything. And it smells horrible. If you breathe it in, it can actually kill you. It's deadly stuff, so you have to be very cautious there. You know, if you smell ammonia, leave it alone. Don't go in there and start breathing deep, doing exercises. And those are signs. You see, you know, the smell, you see that film that'll get on the back of the refrigerator, sometimes inside the refrigerator. Those are signs. The cooling unit has died. It is done with, you know. So the refrigerator is not going to function that way. You're not going to be able to deal with the smell. You got to clean it out. It's got to let it dissipate. It can take days or weeks sometimes for that smell to completely go away. Or the other thing is, the cooling unit can develop a blockage in it. So the ammonia is not circulating the way it should, so it's not cooling the way it should, and your refrigerator stops working. This is going to sound weird, but there's absolutely no amount of Pepto-Bismol that you can use that's going to clear it up. Because it's got a blockage, right? Uh-huh. Well, some people like to take out the refrigerator and turn it upside down, and they call it burping it. Mm-hmm. Ah, Pepto-Bismol makes sense now, right? That can sometimes work with limited success.
Yeah.
If that's the hobby you want to start every 6 months or something, then you can go ahead and start that new hobby. But it's generally limited success. So it's not something you want to rely on. Hey, I'm going to be able to do this every time.
Right.
I wouldn't think that way.
You're delaying the inevitable.
Exactly. You know, you take it out, turn it around, flip it over, it does it. But may work, may not. Now, the other option sometimes people will do is tap on the back of the cooling unit with a 2x4 rubber mallet and try to break the blockage loose. Sometimes that works. But that blockage generally just goes someplace else unless it really breaks up into smaller pieces. All that stuff does is delay the inevitable death, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, you're just prolonging its life, but not very well.
Yeah.
So the tactics that we just discussed do work sometimes, not always. We're talking about this, and I'm always all about saving money. You know, money's becoming a big thing today. You have to save it. You know, the economy's, well, everybody knows. This world is going crazy.
Yeah.
And so things have become more expensive. And so you don't want to buy a new refrigerator unless you have to. By the same token, you don't want to have a shop or do it yourself, do these kind of tactics trying to keep it alive when really it's just going to die,
yeah.
You know, especially if you're out RVing, you're camping with your family and you're burping at work until you get out camping, bouncing down the road, made that blockage go right back into where it was.
Yep.
And there you go. Now it stopped working. So the dreaded cooling unit failure is probably the biggest reason to replace a refrigerator. You know, that's kind of the reason why. Now, you have a couple different options, maybe two or three. So we're going to go through these. The best option, just replace the refrigerator and be done with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that sounds crazy, but it's done and over with. You know, you've taken your lump, you moved on.
Yep.
But replacing the refrigerator does create an issue, sometimes a couple. We'll get back to that in a second. And you can always, or you can have a new or rebuilt cooling unit installed. Now, I always opt for number one, if you're going to do it, to have a new cooling unit put in, not a rebuilt one. But I really opt for a new refrigerator rather than a cooling unit, period. You know, but if you put in a new cooling unit, you can, you know, hopefully that new cooling unit will be problem free and you get beyond the warranty point and keep on going for years to go down the road. And that's great. But that's my opinion. And you have to remember, that's just my opinion. I'm not telling that's what you have to do. So don't go to a dealership. And I was told by Eric,
don't do that.
Right. Don't do that. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
So if you do replace the refrigerator, as I said earlier, there's an issue with it that you'll have to replace the door panels. Most new refrigerators will not be able to use your old door panels. And RV refrigerators do not come with door panels.
They don't.
There are some that have a residential style door and they don't require their panels, but it's a different type of refrigerator, more expensive. It's not your typical RV gas and electric refrigerator. And so replacing the door panels just adds to the expense. You know, they're at least $150. You know, that's kind of the probably the low ball price on there. And from the factory, your RV came with door panels on the refrigerator. They're probably wood or paneling. They're nicer looking. They match the interior of the RV.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they built the RV, they bought that refrigerator. They had door panels made for it. So they're probably not going to work, as I said. Very rarely do they ever work on new refrigerators. So matching them or putting them on the new refrigerator is probably not going to be an option. Matching them is definitely not an option. You know, it's pretty limited on what you can get with door panels. And companies have come and gone over the years. They have nice ones. They disappear. Then the next one comes along. Maybe they only have black and plastic-looking stainless steel. So your options get limited, but it's just an extra expense. And what I find interesting about that is sometimes RVers, our customers, will get more excited about having to buy new door panels than buying a new refrigerator. It's a bigger deal. What do you mean it's another $150? Which to me, it seems odd, but it is. That's just the way it is. New refrigerators do not come with door panels. So expect that if you buy a new refrigerator, if you get to that point. Now, back to the cooling unit. Do we replace the cooling unit or buy a new refrigerator? So if the refrigerator is in good enough shape, it's going to warrant a cooling unit. So in other words, the doors are in excellent shape. The gaskets on the doors close and they seal. The circuit boards and things like that. You know, if the refrigerator's having problems, starting to act up at the same time the cooling unit failed just beforehand, you know, would you want to put money into a cooling unit knowing you're going to have to buy some other parts? And that's what I'm getting at. The doors, the gaskets, things like that, they're hundreds of dollars. So do you want to add that on top of a cooling unit? If the door seals, maybe just they're bad. You know, okay, if we do the cooling unit, we're going to have to do the door seals. You know, that's the shape your refrigerator's in. Are they available? You would find that out before you order a cooling unit and have that done. Because door gaskets, depending on the age of the refrigerator, might not be available. Like so many other parts, they become obsolete. Mm-hmm. Do your doors have hinges built into them? Are the hinges cracked? Are they broken? Can you get a new door? Do you want to spend the money on a new door? A new door could be $300, $400. Do you want to spend the money on that? Or do you rather just take that money on top of a cooling unit and put it into the cost of a new refrigerator? Those are things to consider. If the parts are obsolete, if you can't get a door, don't buy a cooling unit. Makes sense? So replacing these parts on top of the cooling unit just adds to the price. And, you know, it's going to take longer to get it done in some cases, ordering parts, ordering cooling units, getting it all together, because sometimes parts can be hard to get on older refrigerators, well, even on new refrigerators, because they're out of stock, whatever it might be. And, you know, there's always that standby. You can go to that garage sale on the internet, you know, the online shopping center that sells everything under the sun, and they sell a lot of knockoff RV parts.
Yep.
You could buy some of those and see if that works for you, but I would stay away from non-Dometic or non-Norcold refrigerator parts because you don't know what you're going to get. And if you're basing that on buying a cooling unit and putting these parts in there, you might really be just throwing your money down the drain.
You could say goodbye to that money.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, if you put a cooling unit in, you know, is your refrigerator going to be able to go for a long period of time, not just days, weeks, or months before something else fails and then you're pouring more money into it? After you do the cooling unit, you're committed to that puppy, you know? All right, now it needs a circuit board. Gosh, I wish we would have noticed the door gaskets weren't that good. Technicians said they were fine, but now we get it home, we really see they're not, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And so these are things you need to check, too.
Exactly.
I'll just leave it up to the technician. Now, another type of refrigerator, too, that we have to talk about here are the side-by-side refrigerators, where the doors aren't top and bottom, but they're next to one another. So that's a big refrigerator.
Yeah.
And those things are more expensive than your typical refrigerator that has a door on the top and bottom or a single door. They're a lot more. So on those make great candidates for putting in a new cooling unit.
Okay. Interesting.
A new cooling unit.
Okay.
I am anti-rebuilt cooling units, period.
Okay.
There's a reason why, too. So the side-by-side refrigerator, because the cost of them, sometimes they're a very good candidate for it, especially newer ones. But again, you still want to look at everything else, make sure it's in good shape, there's not any problems, things like that. And then if you're going to do a cooling unit, whether you go with a rebuilt one or a new one, check the warranty out. Good old warranty.
Oh, that warranty.
You know, warranties can really bite hard.
Yeah.
And especially when someone's just telling you what the warranty says.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to knock someone here, but like if you're in an RV repair center and you're talking to the technician, and he says the warranty covers, you know, it's a 5-year warranty, parts and labor and blah, blah, blah. And he's telling you that. He might be telling you that in good faith because the brand of cooling units that they were using had that warranty.
Sure.
But maybe the parts department decided, well, we're not going to sell that brand anymore. We're going to go to this brand because they're cheaper for us.
Uh-huh.
The warranty's less, though.
The warranty's cheaper, too.
And they don't cover labor, or they cover 1 hour of labor when you're going to have, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, who knows how many hours of labor.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to be very careful there. And the labor, what does it really cover if it covers labor? Does it cover shipping costs? To get the new cooling unit to you, they're going to want the old one back as a core. Variables there. So you have to find out what that warranty really covers. And the best way to do that is to read the warranty.
Yes.
Don't take their word for it. Read the warranty.
Yeah. Yep.
And now, earlier I said I don't care for remanufactured cooling units, and I don't. When it fails, and they generally do, if it fails under warranty, how many times can that cooling unit be put in and out of that refrigerator before all the screws are stripped out, things are broken, the plastic's worn out, the doors don't work the same? Because, you know, if a technician has to do a warranty refrigerator cooling unit, he's not going to be happy to begin with. He's not getting paid for it or paid very little.
Mm-hmm.
And if he has to do it a third time or a second time without getting paid, he's going to be less happy.
Yeah.
And that refrigerator is going to feel the brunt of it. It's not going to be the same refrigerator when you get it back. And that's why I don't like rebuilt cooling units, because they do fail. Now, new cooling units do fail as well, but not nearly as often. You know, those you can put in and almost just forget about it, but they come with a higher price tag. But if you're going down that road, you might as well go down that road. So the choice is yours. So that's the options you have. So just think about that when your refrigerator dies, and you could actually apply this to water heaters, furnaces, anything on your RV, in fact, your house. Wow, this is like the RV, the Smarter Homeowner show, too.
Yeah, my goodness.
So you can apply it to many things, though.
Good advice.
So just think about that. You know, before you buy it, don't rush into anything. If the refrigerator's not working and you don't have a trip planned the next day, take your time before buying a new refrigerator, buying a cooling unit, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So that's the simple advice for the smart RVer out there. What I'd like to do is hear from our audience and go to our contact us page on thesmartrver.com or send us a text at 406-961-8688 and tell us that some of the topics you'd like to talk about. We come up with topics. We're looking at things from a different angle, viewpoint, and our listeners have a different set of topics, things you guys are working on in your RVs, questions you have, even if it's something you've already done, but you just want to confirm you did it the right way or the best way. Let us know. Let us hear from you. We'd like to talk about that kind of stuff and have it on the show. You can contact us, as I said, on our website or through our text, texting 406-961-8688. Now, let's go to the next stop.
All right.
Alexis is all ready. She's got on her cowboy boots, her cowboy hat. She's got a whip.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, cowboys have whips. Well, gosh, you know, that stuff gets in the news, and who knows?
Really?
Yeah, right. All right, so she's got a Henry rifle, lever action. How's that?
Annie Oakley style.
There you go, Annie Oakley.
I don't know.
The reason why she's dressed like this is because we're going to Sheridan, Texas today.
Woohoo!
So, Annie Oakley, what's happening in Sheridan, Texas?
There's so much there. I actually got into this, and I thought it was kind of cool. I always do these articles, and then I want to go to these places. So, but for one, it's got the Colorado River, which is very cool. Kind of is the focal point for outdoor recreation. People kind of come there for that. Yeah. Am I right or am I wrong?
You gave me a look. It has the Rio Grande.
Okay.
I don't think the Colorado River goes to Texas.
Are we sure?
It ends in Arizona and Mexico.
Okay, well, I'm going to double check that back. Lime on me here.
Okay. Oh, boy. Here we go.
I love it. Okay, we're Googling right now.
Go right ahead.
I'll keep talking. So we've got, now I'm scared too. We've got Boucher State Park. It's located just a short drive from Sheridan. It's a lot of RVers go there because there's so much to do. There's biking trails and hiking and lakes. So you've got a ton of stuff to do. There's really good bird watching there as well, which I always have to mention. And then we've got Fayette Lake. It's a reservoir near Sheridan, and a lot of water sports enthusiasts go there. You can do your boating and skidooing on. Was I right?
Keep going.
Okay. Then there's the Lost Pines Forest. That's a big one for Sheridan, too, because people can go there and do hikes and explore, and it's just a really nice adventure for nature lovers.
All right, so Alexis was right.
Okay, good.
Okay, it's not the Colorado River.
It's Colorado River.
It's the other Colorado River.
Okay, okay, I figured.
Texas has their own Colorado River.
They do, okay.
Yeah.
I thought so.
So I've never heard of another Colorado River.
Okay.
In fact, I've never heard of any river being named someplace else.
I don't know.
It sure happens. But so now we know the other Colorado River
is in Texas.
Is in Texas.
Yeah. They can call it whatever they want.
Wow. Yeah, that should be bad. You know, hey, I mean, let's meet at the Colorado River.
Somebody ends up in Texas.
You're in Utah and they're in Texas.
Yeah, exactly.
Where are you at?
I love it. Oh.
All right. So good thing we have Google handy.
No kidding. Yeah.
No, our reputation has been saved.
Woohoo. I'm not, you know, totally.
So I wonder if it's got more water than the regular.
I don't know.
Colorado River.
You guys do that, okay? Whoever's listening, go look up and see how much river's actually in there.
There you go.
Yeah.
So it's, I didn't catch how many miles long it is, but it's quite a big river.
So that's cool.
And lot to do there. You got the RV-friendly campgrounds and accommodations.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got Sheridan, which is kind of a cool town. It's got a lot of history. So if you're going for that, you're going to have a fun time. But
you see, that makes sense, too. You see, you got Sheridan, Wyoming. So why not have a your own Colorado River, you know, Sheridan, Texas, Sheridan, Wyoming. Wonder which came first, Sheridan, Texas, or Sheridan, Wyoming.
I don't know. That'd be
so maybe someone in Wyoming or Texas could let us know.
Yeah, okay.
Tell us what dunces we are here.
Start texting in right now.
Yeah, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
I love it.
All right. So, yeah, that's another cool place for RVs. In fact, Texas is a pretty nice state for RVing in general.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
It's got your wintertime areas. It's got your summertime areas.
Yep.
A big, giant place to go.
One thing my husband drove through there when he was younger, he said it's the best roads ever there. I guess they're always perfectly paved. He said it's just like the best road system in Texas. So if that's something you're concerned about, just know that.
Yeah, road construction is just part of the game anymore.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So check out Texas. And, of course, there's many other places to go in Texas. That's just one of the few. In fact, we've talked about a few.
We have. Yep.
All right, so now that's going to take us to RV Envy. And today we're going to talk about Yolink hubs and sensors. And you're thinking, what are Yolink hubs and sensors?
Going to find out.
So it's Y-O-L-I-N-K, Yolink.
I like it.
So many things come to mind. All right, so now Yolink on their website used to have stuff very RV specific. And it seems to have disappeared, which is kind of unique. Nonetheless, they sell these hubs. It's kind of like, you know, if you put a Alexa or a Google whatever in your house.
Sure.
So the hub receives signals from let's say it's a water sensor to detect a water leak in your home or a temperature sensor is outside. The hub will receive that information. Then you have an app on your phone, and it sends that information to your app. So if, you know, 80 degrees outside, you can see it on your phone. You know, typical stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool. They have some neat things like the water leak sensors for an RV. So you can put one in your bathroom, and they have them with probes on them too. So you can actually make them work better to detect a leak in different areas, whether it's under a sink, behind a toilet. And that's really what my focus is, the temperature and things like that. That's not as big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But these water sensors are kind of cool.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily have to have Wi-Fi for it to work. The sensor will still, you know, send its signal to the hub, but you're just not going to be able to get that information from it.
Okay.
So the hub has to be connected to Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, in an RV, that can be difficult. If your RV parks, it doesn't have Wi-Fi there, then you're not going to be able to connect it. Then you'd have to be connecting to the different Wi-Fi areas.
Yeah.
And Yolink had some YouTube videos about their RV stuff. And like I said, it's not on their website. But there are some flaws with it, like the Wi-Fi. You'll not be able to know if you have a problem. You can get a water valve that will actually shut the water valve off to your RV, which you could activate on your phone, but you have to have Wi-Fi. So there's some things there. So depending on where you go camping, maybe you go to the same place all the time and they have Wi-Fi there, then this might be ideal for you.
Sure.
You know, check out their website. So go to their website, check it out, see what they have to offer. And I think you can find something there. Maybe you have something similar. You know, maybe you're using a Google thing or whatever, but Yolink, kind of cool. Everything's very affordable. That's one of the things that caught my attention. You know, even if you use these things in your house.
Yeah.
You know, like the water leak function, that's what I really like.
Yeah.
Because water leaks just ruin trips, whether it's your RV or your home, you know, very expensive.
Yeah.
You know, you're out in your RV all day and you come back and water's running out the door. That really sucks, you know. So this could help stave that off. So worth checking out. So that's going to bring us to the end of our show today. As a reminder, go to our YouTube channel. We got plenty of videos there. Things to watch, learn, and see videos where we're explaining things the right way. Not just the hillbilly way, but the right way. All right?
That's right.
And so next week we have episode 153, and we're going to talk about maintenance projects that you should have already had done by now because we're basically into summer. So that's your roof, your fresh water system, and your LP system. So we're going to jump into that, get a little more details next week. So we had a great show today. We learned that Alexis has come up the ladder summit with a new RV. So look out for her in campgrounds.
That's right.
Her husband.
Watch out.
Run the other way.
Oh, thanks.
All right. So this is Eric Stark with the Smart RVer podcast. And I want to thank everybody for listening today and hanging out with us. And if I don't see you on the road, let's connect at thesmartrver.com.